Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Tree Spirit Telesummit. I'm your host, Kim Wilborn, founder of GuardianGateway.com, where we help you connect with the high vibrational guardians and allies, angels, fairies, dragon and unicorn energies, tree and plant spirits, and more, who are here to help uplift every area of life. And I want to thank you, as I do every time, so much for being here with us as we come into sacred relationship with the trees. Together with you, we're creating a beautiful sacred space where humans and trees can come together in powerful new ways to support each other and our world. And this is a live call, so if you're listening online, you can type in a question or comment. And later on, when the switchboard has been acting so funny for this whole event, so hopefully it'll come back online so I can hear your comments and your questions as we go. So thanks in advance for that. Now for our live calls, we've got an invocation. So if you'll join together through your heart with me, here we go. We call upon the trees and we make a vow from our hearts now to see you with new eyes, to know you as treasured friend, and to connect through your roots to the love at the heart of this world. And so it is. Now you'll find a free 48-hour replay for every call on our schedule and replay page. And I've created two affordable upgrade packages for you with recordings so that you can get lasting benefits from the Telesummit. And they're both still at a discount price right now. Our Sacred Relationship Package gives you all the interview recordings from the summit, as well as the Tree Spirit Telesummit Journal and Guide ebook, and all the meditations from the calls edited out so you can listen to the guided journeys whenever you like, over and over again. Gonna let my kitty in now. If you hear any background sounds, it's because it's the neighborhood gardeners outside working. Hopefully they won't be too loud. In this package number one, you'll also receive these bonuses from the speakers. The Have You Asked the Trees 7-week home study course in shamanic herbalism with Julie Charette Nunn. The Awareness of Your Heart Field, Be the Tree, and Put Yourself in the Tree's Place guided meditations from Basha Alexander. Tree Love Conversations with Sentient Trees ebook from Elisa Novick. Tree Whispers and Instructional PDFs from Dr. Jim Conroy. The Spiritual Life of Trees book list from Michael Polarski. Journey Through the Fairy Door guided meditation from Karen Kay. The Shaman Song Ascension art piece from Diana Henderson. Exercises to Detect the Magic of a Forest from Jackie Queeley. The Making Friends with the Tree Spirits audio from Billy Dean, and the Apple Tree Yoga audio and guide from Juliana Steer. And in addition to that, this time we also have a brand new second option. Option 2 gives you everything in Option 1, all the Telesummit call recordings and bonuses, plus you get my daily support and centering package. I've taken 6 special themes from my Daily Gateway program and created a special 6-week program of daily audio messages. Every morning, you'll receive a new 3 to 5 minute audio message from me to support you in getting centered and grounded and connecting you to your true self and the power of your own beautiful heart. Our weekly themes are Make Friends with the Trees, Partner with Chakra Guardians, Connect to the Spirit of Water, Connect to the Spirit of Air, Connect to the Spirit of Fire, and Connect to the Spirit of Earth. And as always, you'll find both of these options on our schedule and replay page. Today, I'm looking forward to speaking with Elise Pomerantz, but before we begin, I'd like to invite you to take a deep breath and fully enter into the sacred space we're creating here together. If you're in a safe place to do so, I'd like to invite you to close your eyes and begin to relax. Allow yourself to feel a beautiful beam of source energy entering through the top of your head. As this source energy flows down into your body, feel it cleansing, clearing, and balancing every part of your body and every part of your being. Feel it filling your entire body, flowing through your feet, and beaming down into the center of the earth. At the center of the earth, feel the presence of a huge glowing crystal filled with positive energy and love for you. See the beam of source energy flow down into the crystal. Harmonize with the energy there. And beam straight back up into you. Feel this beautiful energy flow up in a gentle wave. A wave that fills you, surrounds you, and then spreads out to bless the entire world. See the whole planet held in the space of safety and love. Now feel yourself entering a sacred grove, filled with trees that have come forward to hold this sacred space with us. Feel yourself become centered. Feel yourself become grounded. Feel yourself become balanced. And feel yourself become whole. Come back to your own heart. And connect with love to the trees that are physically near you at this moment. Feel their steady, supportive presence all around you. And feel your own energetic roots connecting you to their roots. Now shine your love to all the trees across the planet. Feel their love in return and become part of a beautiful, interconnected pattern of love and support. Now feel your own beautiful energy once again. Come back to your own heart and thank the trees who have come forth to bring their energy to this event. Feel yourself in vibrant, powerful partnership with all the trees and take your place in the creative tapestry of life that we are weaving together. Now take another nice deep breath. Open your eyes and look around the room. Feel yourself fully in your body. Come all the way back to your normal waking state and join with me in welcoming our speaker. Elise Pomerantz works as a mentor within the Waldorf system of education, working with schools in different countries. She's trained in art therapy and sustainable beekeeping and is part of an international community of biography workers. This work in education, art therapy, biography, and beekeeping is based out of the impulses introduced in the early 1900s by Rudolf Steiner. All this work enriches her current work of communication and conversations in art with trees. She has 500 color ink drawings made out of encounters with trees as old as 2,000 years old. She hopes to continue this research indefinitely, as it continues to be full of revelation and inspiration. Welcome to the Tree Spirit Telesummit, Elise.
Thank you, Kim. It is really wonderful to be here, and it's been wonderful to listen to all of the other presenters. I've learned so much, and it's helped me to understand some of my own experiences. There really is something very homemaking about what's happening here, and I'm really, really awakening through hearing everybody.
Well, I'm so glad you're a part of it, and I know you've got a lot you're going to share with us. Where do we start today?
Well, in your introduction, I realized that, in fact, since we last had a chance to be part of one of your wonderful events a few years ago, I have had the chance to spend time with trees that are even older. I've had several encounters with trees that are probably 5,000 years old or even more. And
wow.
Those encounters.
Where was that? I don't mean to interrupt you, but where was that?
One of them was in China at the Yellow Emperor's tomb. It was a cypress, and it was surrounded by 1,000 year old cypresses.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
It was hard to know who to listen to. I only had, you know, half a day to spend. So that was very special. And then the other is a tree that I recognize as really as my teacher, among many others that have taught me so much. But it's a tree in Wales, a yew tree at a place called Dyfnog. And in fact, that tree most recently guided me to return to the UK and asked me to come back to do further work. So after meeting that tree a couple of years ago for the first time, I really felt that the nature of my work had changed quite dramatically. The first thing I would like to express and bring forward is this whole mood of gratitude, which you create so tenderly and consciously in everything that you're doing. And it's something that was brought forward. A lot of speakers really emphasize this as essential. And one of the things that I realize is that in order to be doing this work, I've received the gift of teaching and learning from many others. And I'd like to mention especially Marko Pogacnik, who is the UNESCO Artist for Peace, and whose work really is a beacon for the awakening of Gaia and creating of Gaia culture. And there's a group that was established 10 years ago called LifeNet, which is an international group really devoted to this awakening and collaboration and co-creation in an artistic way of creating a kind of a new culture on the earth between humanity and the non-visible non-human realms. And of course, your guest, Michael Pilarski, is also very involved with that, with his wonderful Human and Fairy Congress, which I'm delighted to say I'm going to be part of this summer. So I really look forward. Yes. So enormous gratitude to Marco Pogacnik and also to Tanis Helliwell, whose work with the elemental world is so fundamental. And in fact, it's thanks to her that I first was able to connect with you, Kim. So these are our teachers who are alive on the earth and really serving this great awakening that we're all part of. So this notion that gratitude is so central is something that has been known and is practiced in so many different world religions and spiritual practices. There's something known as the Thanksgiving Address that really belongs to this part of the world, to the indigenous people here. And it was something that arose from the work of the peacemaker who brought together this League of Nations of the warring tribes. And out of that, it was possible to create a whole new imagination of how humanity could function. And the image for the Six Nations is a tree. It's the white pine. And in the Thanksgiving Address, the trees are thanked, as well as all of the other beings of the earth. So this gesture of gratitude is fundamental, and it's recognized as what makes it possible for us to actually become receptive and perceptive. I love how Pam Tursen described the heart as an organ of perception and reception. And Steiner often also speaks about how when we are in a mood of awe or in a mood of reverence, when we have this sense of gratitude, it's throwing open the doors and the windows so that we can be in exchange with greater beings, the non-material, the spiritual beings of the world. And our culture is very oriented towards what we think of as critical thinking, and we tend towards things that take apart or are quite, this critique is sort of at the center. And certainly in the work with the trees, one thing that is universal is this experience that the trees are completely non-judgmental. There's an unconditional love that the trees offer. They don't seem to have any sense of needing things to be right or wrong, or to polarize, or to divide things up. There's no impulse to anything adversarial. So this as a gesture, you know, that the trees, they exude it, they express it. That's what they live and that's what they are. And so then they support us to also step into that. And when we are able to do that, that opens all of the gateways. You have this wonderful name, Guardian Gateways. And it really is, swings everything wide open when we are in that gesture. And the trees, you could say, are that gesture.
I love that.
So then in terms of, you know, I'm an educator, and I feel very strongly now that the children that are coming onto the earth are in great need of adults who are reflecting and bringing towards them this sense and experience of the world as living and sentient, and that's something which in most cases in educational settings is actually not only not included, but it might be ridiculed or mocked or frowned upon. I remember very clearly when I was teaching grade one, probably 20 something years ago, with my first class, I mentioned an experience I had had at a mineral spring, a hot spring in Italy, where I had been in the waters a little bit too long and I had fainted away. And in that moment, I met all of the elemental beings of the land. And it was quite a remarkable experience. And I shared it a little bit with my grade ones. And I asked, had they ever had experiences? And every single one of them had had an experience. And then I asked, and are your parents receptive? Do your parents accept your experiences? And they all indicated immediately that their parents completely dismissed what they were experiencing. So I think a lot of what I'm doing now, what I'm committed to, is to support these children that are coming onto the earth now at this time, to have around them adults and educators, parents, mentors who are open and interested in this aspect of the earth that is awakening, that is conscious, and that then allows us to step in as collaborators. You know, in our environmental movement, often what I hear is people, you know, have this idea we're going to fix up something, as if the earth is a bunch of stuff that we've broken. And I loved, there were definitely some of your speakers who really emphasized how much we're in relationship with the earth. We're not in some kind of hierarchical role. And I think it was Billy Dean who really emphasized that what we need to do is to be relational. And in order to be relational, you need to be able to communicate. In order to be able to communicate, you need some kind of a language of communication, a way to understand all of these different beings. And so that is something that interests me greatly, and it's a big part of why I feel so strongly that what I'm doing is a research. And more and more, I'm realizing that this very gradual understanding that I gain after having received these drawings or created them in collaboration with trees, that the actual understanding is something which comes very gradually and can take years for me to actually understand an image that I've received. So some patience is required.
What does it feel like when you understand it? Does that mean that you understand it in terms of something that you could then write down, or is it more of an energetic understanding?
Well, certainly some of the things that I experience with trees, I would call them thoughts or insights or inspiration. Sometimes they're even what I've come to talk about as tree jokes. So I do have these, I do receive thoughts and ideas. But in terms of the drawings themselves, I'll just give you an example. That there's a willow tree in a public park not too far away from where I live. When I started working with it, I wasn't actually living in this neighborhood. So that was about maybe 4 or 5 years ago I started to sit with that tree. And it kept giving me these images that were sort of, I don't know, they all had a lot of hearts in them, and they were very, they looked like people were having some kind of celebration. They looked very festive, and I couldn't make head or tails of it, and every drawing just seemed to emphasize that more and more, and I kept going back to it over the course of maybe 3 years, 4 years. And then at some point, I understood that the tree was conveying that they experienced being surrounded by human beings in these public parks as being in what they call a human heart forest. So where we would go out into the woods and we would seek the calm and the quiet and the centered stillness of the woods that we receive, you know, as gift from the trees experience being surrounded by human life, human activity, human conversation, humans playing games, humans, you know, cycling and playing. They experience that as a real joyful, refreshing, wonderful heart forest is what they call it. So when I looked back on the drawings, I realized, that's what the tree was trying to communicate, but I wasn't yet able to understand exactly what it was like from the tree's point of view. And that is something which is really, really interesting to try to comprehend. Trees and humans are different. Our consciousness is different. And it's very, some of those differences are actually quite interesting and I think very important to recognize, because that'll help us to often in order to be able to connect, you need to be very conscious of ways in which you're different, and then you also need to find some points of connection. So when you're working interspecies between a human and this non-human being, this tree being, you need to find those places and notice where you are the same, and also to be aware of some of the differences. So, yes, my devotion to the children is very much at the center, and I'm happy to say that I've had some opportunities to support teachers who are ready to take this up, and there's a wonderful teacher in a downtown school in Toronto who partners her students with trees, and every day they spend some time with their tree, connecting with it and becoming interested in it and exploring it through their senses, but also through their heart and their feelings.
And wow.
She invited me to come and do a little workshop there. This was a number of years ago. And I had said something to the children about tree jokes, because trees do have a remarkably wonderful sense of humor, somewhat dry and a bit ironic, and usually the jokes are at my expense. But never mind, I can be very serious, so I need occasionally to be teased. So this one little girl was very impatient for me to be speaking about the tree jokes, and I just kept getting busy with other things. So finally on the last day, she went to her tree and she came back and she said, well, my tree has given me three jokes. And I asked if she would share them, and she was completely confident to share them. And she said, the first is, what does the apple tree say to the apple? And the response to that is, I'm going to drop you. And then there was another joke that was a little bit too focused on the Canadian theme, so I'll leave that one out. But the third one, she said, what does the tree say to the lumberjack? And the response is, make something good.
Mm.
So this aspect of the tree that recognizes that human beings come and take their wood, there is something in the tree which it's a kind of a complex relationship, because as other people have mentioned, trees don't have the same relationship to birth and death that we have as human beings. There's a wonderful book by this Swiss man called Karsten Masai, called The School of the Elemental Beings. And there's many, many things that he offers that are quite wonderful about trees. One of those is that he talks about, at a certain point, the tree will actually have a kind of a wedding ceremony in which its spirit comes and joins it. And this is something that doesn't happen right away. It starts after about a few years. So the very, very young trees and the older trees have a very different relationship to their tree spirits. And there's a wonderful image he gives of this being a kind of a wedding. Sorry, I lost where I started from there. And I got
involved. Oh, well, I thought that was wonderful, though. Can you share the name again?
Yes, it's The School of the Elemental Beings, Karsten Masai. It's a new book out by Steiner Books.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And I think what you had been talking about was their relationship to life and their own spirit.
Yes. So I mentioned this aspect with Karsten Masai, where there's this joining with a tree spirit at a certain point, which is you know, it's a very different kind of process than a human birth and a human death. And I was especially, this was brought to my attention, I think I mentioned that after working with this tree in Wales, my assignment, shall we say, changed quite dramatically. And I came back to my humble home here in Toronto area and started to connect with the trees across the street who were slated to be cut as part of a large development. And those trees, when I started to work with them, they asked if I would be willing to speak on their behalf at this judicial board called the Ontario Municipal Board, where these kinds of decisions are made about what developers are and aren't allowed to do. You know, it's a kind of mediation between residents and the town and the developers. And the trees across the street had asked that they could be included in that process. And so on the day my grandson was born, 5 hours after he had come into the world, I was standing in this courtroom to ask permission to speak what the trees have to offer into the conversation. And I was permitted to do that. So then several months later, I stood in this courtroom and I shared what the trees intended to speak, but weren't able to speak on their own. You know, the trees are always communicating, but we need to be receptive and interested. And as everybody pointed out, I think this has been universal with all your speakers, that really what the only thing that is necessary is that you show an interest, that you have a sense of appreciation and gratitude for the tree, and then the tree will respond immediately. And there's all kinds of possible ways of connecting and communicating. So anyway, these trees had asked to be included, and so they took me on a learning journey. I'm really, because I'm a teacher, I do recognize when I'm being taught. And the trees were very gently guiding me to make it clear what was necessary in order for there to be a true communication from them into this conversation, this legal process. And there were several things they made very clear. One was that they were not afraid of death, but what was truly painful for them was that they were completely excluded, that their gifts were not recognized, that who they actually really are is not is something that people aren't aware of. That's where their real suffering lies. And they also made it really clear to me that I was not at any point to enter into this with my own wishes for a particular outcome. I had to completely abandon my own preference, my own need, and only speak about what the trees were asking permission to give and to continue to give. And so they also were very clear that there was no room for anything adversarial or polarizing. I was to accept and love and be interested in everybody who was in that room, just in the way that a tree would be. So that was a powerful, powerful experience. I'm happy to say those trees are standing. And if you're interested in seeing this presentation, it's on my website. My son happened to be in town and they gave me permission to tape it. So it's there for posterity now.
Wow. And hold on, let me get to, I don't mean to say hold on, but I just want to make sure, back to my notes. Elisa's website is www.thetreeconversations.com. So that's where you can find that. Elise, what was your experience of what the other people in the room experienced as you spoke?
Well, it was quite astonishing because I had expected a certain amount of, mocking or ridicule or, you know, mm-hmm. disbelief or something. And actually, there was a mood in the room of real listening and genuine interest. There were a couple of people at the back who were a little bit silly. One person had come in and sort of missed everything I said, and so he was a bit unpleasant. But ultimately, there was an enormous openness and receptivity, and I feel strongly that had to do with the trees having guided me and taught me to be present in the room as they are present in the world, which is to be open and receptive to all humanity. So they asked me some great questions at the end, out of real respect and interest. So yes, if you're interested, there's some you can have a chance to sort of hear that. And I think one of the things my son said to me about it was that he understood that it's possible to make a space for people to have a new thought that they had never had before. And then it doesn't have to be in any way threatening to them or strange. I mean, ultimately, I have to say, to be honest, almost everybody I've met has had some kind of an intimate experience with a tree. And it's just not something that people feel comfortable to talk about. I have a dear friend who may be listening now, Sylvie. And she and I had a great giggle one day when we started to talk about having parades down the main street, the way they have the gay pride parades for everybody who's come out of the closet. And we said, we're going to have the parades for coming out of the woods.
Mm.
And soon people will feel comfortable to speak about these things, which are just taking place really as a matter of course. It's not mm-hmm. at all unusual. So your conference is a wonderful step in that direction. So thank you.
Oh, well, thank you for being part of it. And thank you for this story that you just told. It's so powerful on so many different levels, but especially what touches me is the tree's advice or suggestion to you about the way to show up, because you really did create that space where people can connect to something that they consciously weren't aware of, but deep in their hearts, they probably already knew on some level.
Yes, I mean, ultimately, that's what the trees seem to do. They connect us to ourselves, our what we could call our true self, or the self which we are growing towards, are growing into. So yes, I'm grateful for having had that opportunity. And I want to speak briefly again about this work with children, because there are a couple other examples I would like to give. I want to support adults, teachers, parents, everybody to really support the children to form these genuine bonds of communication and relationship. I think in our time, it's really key. I worked with a group of children at a Waldorf school in Kentucky, and their teacher very kindly allowed me to come in and do some of the tree work. And I first had them remember stories that they had heard through the curriculum that were tree-based. And in Waldorf, you know, there's a lot of artistic learning, and so stories are very central in that way of learning. And they all could remember wonderful stories about trees. And so I had them go out in the yard. There's wonderful trees in that particular campus there. And I suggested that they could tell those stories to the trees and see how the trees respond to stories about trees.
Mm-hmm.
And I had one little boy come back and he said, I told the trees about this terrible film I had seen that was so frightening. And I've been so upset and I haven't been able to sleep. So I needed to tell the tree about that. And I asked him, did that help you? He said, oh, yes. Oh, yes. So I realized that children are really in need of this kind of unconditional love, and also trusting their own sense of hearing through their hearts and communicating.
Mm.
So, and I have a very dear friend and colleague, Veronica Marquez, who has been working with the children at the Waldorf School here. And she's written a beautiful piece about a little girl who had a terrible crisis with her classmates. And Veronica guided her to a tree and said, get the tree to help you to resolve this. And the little girl was able to tell her troubles to the tree and then find her way back to playing with her friends. So, you know, these are, I think, really important, uncharted territory, really. There's so much possibility. Mm-hmm. And in terms of how we support the young ones that are coming now, I think it's really, really, really key. There are two sort of larger topics that I would like to touch on. I don't know how much more time I have, but one of them also still relates to the children that are coming now, which I think may be important just to mention. And at one point, I've been so involved with trees that my mother said to me, she said, it suddenly occurred to her that maybe I was thinking I would come back in my next life as a tree. And she said, my mother said, I'd rather you didn't do that, which was so sweet. Because the truth of the matter was I thought, I wonder what it would be like to have a life as a tree. And there is a legend that the Buddha had 40 incarnations as a tree on the earth before incarnating as what we know as Gautama Buddha. So this, of course, connects to what Michael Dunning was saying about these beings, these you beings, actually being these high spiritual Elohim living on the earth in tree form. So these are very powerful pictures of something very mysterious, which has to do with the possibility that trees can sometimes have a spirit that is preparing to be human. And I actually had the opportunity to work with such a tree thanks to Pam Terson, who was in communication with a tree at the Brooklyn Botanic Garden, and she contacted me and said this tree would like to work with me. It has something it needs to communicate about its legacy. It's a tree that was in a process of dying. And Pam sent a few little samples from the tree and asked me to connect with it. And I took it into my sleep with me, and I had incredible dreams. And then I realized that she was right. It was important that I make my way to Brooklyn. So I was able to do that and spend some time with this tree. And what became clear to me in the work with the tree, that the tree was transitioning and was preparing for its next life, for a human incarnation. And that was a really remarkable experience. I haven't fully digested it. I don't think I completely understand yet the drawings that the tree gave me. But I understand that there are these things that are taking place so that, you know, sometimes the children we have in our care, they may actually have a part of them may be a tree spirit being, or they may be some other part of some other elemental being. And so they're not necessarily going to present as we're used to children presenting. So that's a rather large topic and a rather not yet fully researched topic, but I'm mentioning just because I think people who are caregivers of small children now, I think it's important that they're asking questions about who it is that is with them and what they need then to fulfill their task on earth.
Well, thank you for sharing that. It's important.
So, there was one other thing I wanted to touch on. I'm actually going to, before I do that, just briefly, well, actually, this is related. There, Michael Polarski, when he mentioned one of the books, he talked about Verena Stahl von Holstein, who has a book that talks about tree spirits. She actually has a previous book to that called Nature Spirits and a subsequent book called Thoughts That Shine Like Stars. And in the book Thoughts That Shine Like Stars, she is in a conversation with this being called Crown, who is considered to be a tree shepherd. And tree shepherds are beings that guide the movement of forests. And, you know, when we think of the Lord of the Rings and the Ents, those are the beings that she is in conversation with, that she's calling tree shepherds. And there's a very beautiful, there's many things in this book I really highly recommend it. They also relate to a lot of things that were shared over the last week and a half in your telesummit. But there's a beautiful little exchange here in terms of the forests needing healing. And so the questioner asks, are the forests in Central Europe sick? And the tree shepherd says, many forests are sick. This sickness is located in the etheric sphere and is connected primarily with the fact that humans are not opening their eyes. The forest will become healthy to the extent that the etheric nature of a forest is seen. Not me as a tree shepherd, because I don't want to be seen at all and don't even want to speak with every human. The awareness of humans can heal us. And then the questioner asks, what concretely can an individual person do so that the forest will become healthy again? And the tree shepherd says, become aware of them. That's the most important thing. And then pray, because praying almost always helps. See a forest as a place of healing and not just a collection of trees. Forests are also your places of healing because air that is good for you is produced in them. Understand why your ancestors considered the forests holy. And then he actually refers to a specific person, Maria Tun, who has created biodynamic preparations and herbal tea preparations that can be spread in the woods. And that's something that I've been doing quite a bit, as much as I can. I do the biodynamic stirring and spraying in local parks and in various neighborhoods with urban trees. So that's something that may be of interest to people. Thoughts that shine like stars. Now, I know I need to close fairly soon, but I did want to mention something which is also a kind of a new thought, something that's emerging that I think is possibly of interest. I know Michael Polarski again mentioned something about working with agriculture and trees, and certainly in the biodynamic agriculture, woodlands and agricultural land are seen to be necessary together, that they help each other and support each other. And I was given a dream some time ago, maybe about a year and a half ago, where I was shown these tree shepherds, these beings that are the guiding forces for the forests of the world. And I saw them stepping back, and a new little being was stepping forward. And that being said the term pharmistry. And I thought about that, and I realized that, we have interrupted these large forests in various ways. They don't really exist as they used to. And now we as humans are talking about planting trees, which of course is very important. In addition to that, though, is the necessity for our attention and communication with the places where we're planting them and with the trees themselves to be guided to know how to plant, what to plant, when to plant, then how to support these new growing beings. So there is some kind of a new co-creative being that is developing now. And this being is in some way related to the new woodlands, the new forest that we will co-create with the trees. So I've been doing some research in relationship to that. And there does seem to be some affiliation and connection also with the bees and the work that is being done there, wonderful work in relationship to finding new relationships to the bees. And there may be an important collaboration there between bees and forests. So there's a lot to continue to research and explore. And I'm delighted to say that I think this will probably keep me busy for the rest of this life anyway. And it's really, really wonderful to hear of the work of all the other people who are part of this gathering. I think there's a lot that's being carried simultaneously, and we're only now becoming aware of it. In a way, many of these things have been birthing themselves through the individuals who've been working without knowledge of each other. And now what's coming through with this work that you're doing, this telesummit, is we become awake to one another's work. And I feel that that's really key, that we support one another and love and accept each other and our work in all of its diverse forms.
Well, that's beautiful. I couldn't agree more. And I am so intrigued about the exercise that you're going to do. Is now a good time to start?
Yes. Now, this is, I am the daughter of a scientist, and this is a real experiment we're going to do today. So I invite you to play with it and try it however it feels possible for you, and to change it and create something anew for yourself out of it. So it's not hard and fast or fixed. It's just to try to give some impulses for how you could work with what Steiner called imaginative cognition, this way of, as Pam put it, perceiving the heart as an organ of perception and reception. So, for this, I'm going to bring us into relationship with this aspect that the trees are supporting us in, which is the work of forgiveness. And that's something which is really important in our world as we are going forward. So I would first invite you to connect with your own heart, that place that feels like a space that is filled with your heartedness. And connect with all of those invisible ones who are with you and guiding you, loving you, supporting you as you explore this relationship between humans and trees. We all have our protectors and our guides. So surrounded by this warmth and light and protection, we will step into our heart space and we will give attention to our life and a place where there may be something of a distress, maybe an encounter which has felt unresolved or creates a certain emotional response when you think of it, or maybe in some way is creating an obstacle in a relationship or in a creative project. So just take a moment to find something like that. Something small, nothing, not a deep life issue, because we're not in a kind of setting where we can really work with those deeper things, but just something that's come up in the last few weeks that has been bothering. I'm going to just take a moment to think of something like that. And now I would like you to think of, you've had opportunities over the course of this telesummit to remind yourself of a tree that has or is or has been important to you, a real tree that you know and love. And imagine that you are able to sit with that tree. And imagine getting yourself comfortable and settling into to be with that tree in a encounter with a friend and a confidant and a dearly beloved helper. And now I invite you to imagine that you're presenting to the tree this experience, this distress, this situation, this unresolved feeling. You can imagine that perhaps you are entering the tree, bringing with you your heart space and this place that is somewhat unsettled or bothered. And the tree is really enveloping you and wrapping you, comforting you, receiving the whole story, the whole picture. And I hope that you are experiencing that the tree is receptive to your experience, completely open, able to receive it and absorb it and recognize and understand it. And now with your heart open and your imagination open and ready to receive, notice that there's an image of some kind of, maybe it's like a painting, but maybe it's, I don't know, three-dimensional, maybe it's poetic. I don't know what will come to you, but the tree is giving you something as a response. As a kind of a medicine, as a gift to balance and support and transform your experience. And just notice what comes and trust that entirely. And giving thanks for this gift. Perhaps it's unexpected. Perhaps it's something you recognize. Perhaps it's something which doesn't surprise you at all, or maybe it's completely unexpected. Giving thanks for this gift and allowing yourself to just receive it without necessarily understanding what it means. Just notice that you feel loved and cared for, and that something in you has been supported to experience your situation in a new way, a new thought, a new feeling. And stepping outside of the tree, perhaps you imagine giving it a hug or admiring it, looking at its beauty, giving thanks and traveling in your imagination back to your normal consciousness, your normal thoughts. And coming back into the room when you feel ready and giving thanks to all your guides and guardians who supported you to be safe and cared for on this excursion, this imaginative excursion. So.
Oh, that was truly wonderful. Thank you for that.
I put together a little post on my website with four images. And I invite you, if you're interested, to try this exercise where you return to your tree. Perhaps you have some other things you want to be working on. You return to your tree, you enter the tree, and you bring your situation, and also bring into the tree with you this one of these images, and offer it to the tree. And then ask the tree to transform the image in some way, to turn it into something else, and watch it metamorphose, watch it change. So that's another possibility for a way to explore this forgiveness exercise.
Oh, thank you for that. You know, many of us wouldn't approach the tree and kind of know where to begin to get an image back, but approaching the tree with one of your images to start with is a great way. Thank you.
Well, there's an endless possibility for exploration and research. And, you know, I think it's really going to be floodgates once we really truly open up to the trees. Their capacity for inspiration is really infinite. And there may be actually, there's one more thing I'd like to say if I could have another minute. I know I'm...
Oh, please do.
Yeah. Because I feel this may be a thought which supports people to engage in a new way. I've been trying to understand this aspect of trees in relationship to consciousness and thinking in the way that we as human beings know it. And as a human being, I have a thought. I, Elise Pomerantz, think this. So there is this aspect of the I am, that is engaged with this thinking process. And I can remember years ago when I was teaching in grade 4 in the Waldorf schools, we work with studying animals in relation to humans. And someone said to me, do you think that animals have feelings? And I said, well, I actually think that animals are feelings. And by that I mean that when a dog is sad, it's not that the dog says, I, Rover, am sad. The dog just is sadness entirely. That's what it is. And that would be the same for pretty much any emotion or feeling, that animals actually fully embody that as total experience. It's not that they are also able to then be witnessing it with this I. A human being says, I feel sad, I feel angry. The animal just is that. So with the trees, the tree, you know, the human being says, I have this thought, I think this. The tree also is not working with this individual I in the same way. The tree simply is what thinking is. And this aspect that we have within us, this I in the human, is something quite different than what the trees experience. They have something similar, but it actually belongs to the all the trees altogether. It's a it's a global I am that each tree is in relationship with. So this is why it's possible to do these sort of simultaneous works with trees at great distances. I know Diana Beresford Kruger in her film Call of the Forest admitted that she has constant conversations with one particular oak in Ireland through her thinking. So we can form these relationships, important relationships to certain trees, and then at a distance we can still be in communication with those trees.
Oh, thank you for taking the time to add that. What a wonderful way to wrap everything up. Thank you. And I want to make sure that people know more about what you offer at your website. So again, that's thetreeconversations.com. And tell us what you have there, Elise.
Well, there's some drawings, hundreds and hundreds of drawings. There's several videos, an interview that was done by Jackie Keeley, which I really appreciated she did with me. And then I also have my last Telesummit interview with you from the Nature Spirit. I do write about some of the things that I'm experiencing and understanding in terms of the trees. Right now in the middle of writing a book, so hopefully that will come to fruition this year. So there's a lot of images and writing and introduction to what this work is. There's an article that I wrote for a newspaper that refused. They didn't actually publish it, but it's where the trees were asking me to advocate for cell phone free parks because they're disturbed by our cell phone signals. But that's another story. So there's lots of material on that website.
Oh, thank you for that. Thank you so much for being here, Elise. I have enjoyed this so much. I've gotten so much from it. Thank you.
Thank you, Kim, for all you've done and to everybody who's spoken, and I look forward to hearing the next speakers.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Now, everyone listening, thank you, whether you're listening live or joining with us after the fact. It's wonderful to come together this way, and I appreciate you so much. And most of all, I'd like to thank the trees and all the spiritual guardians and allies who are here with us in this sacred space. Thank you. May our relationships with the trees be ever growing and ever more beautiful, and may they bring about lasting positive change for our world. Until next time, this is Kim Wilborn wishing you love and abundance.